Welcome back to another episode of Young, Dumb, and Righteous. Today, we really want to expand on the topic of temptation and how you can resist it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, if you want to turn and read with us, it says, "Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart." So instead of giving in to the things of temptation, and like we said, temptation is normally towards those things that bring you to the temporary happiness, right? Like eating a cheeseburger, and then later on you feel like crap for the rest of the day. In that moment, you feel happy. But if you can turn away from that and you can actually go delve further into the Spirit and to dig deep and pursue God, that leads to a more of an internal joy than that temporary 5 minutes of, you know, I feel good about this one little thing that, you know, you may have done.
Yeah, and he just keeps hitting. So as soon as you start to pursue him, he takes away the desires of the other things. So in John 10:10, it says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And he came so that we may have life and we may have it abundantly. So by pursuing our desires and falling into sin, ultimately what sin does is separate us from God. And that's just saying, okay, God, I got this. I'm going to do this one time. And it always leads to death. And, well, you know, it's always that downward spiral. But when he says that he comes and he comes to give us an abundant life, that's what's on the other side of that sin. So in the moment, it's going to be hard. You know, temptation is tempting.
Yes.
If it's not tempting, it's not temptation.
Exactly. And the thing to understand, too, is that temptation isn't one of those things that once you get saved, it goes away. If anything, it probably actually gets worse, especially as I've kind of come to realize and Nick has come to realize. And even after you can kind of get over one thing or get over one temptation, something else will happen or some other temptation will come into your life or something completely new will happen. And you're like, oh, I didn't realize that would be something that would lead me away from God. And that's what temptation is, and it's ever evolving, everlasting. As much joy as God has, there's just that much more temptation in the world because of the devil, and who tries to really speak to people ear and say, well, why don't you just take this hit this time, or why don't you go and indulge in that full chocolate cake, you know, when you know you shouldn't. It's just, at the end of the day, that's what temptation is. It's never going away.
Yeah, and like he said, it does get worse, and it always gets worse. It's kind of like Accutane. You know, when someone has really bad acne, they get put on Accutane, and then, you know, their acne gets really, really bad right after they get put on it. But after the season of hard, it gets smoother. But it only gets smoother if you can resist it. And it's not anything that, I mean, yes, you can choose not to sin, but then you're just going to, it's going to keep happening, you know? And if you get tempted 10 times and your personal will, can you get you to sin, not sin once, you're statistically going to fall back into it. And it's by loving him that he gives you that new heart and he gives you a new thirst for something different. And he starts to give you a different view on it. Because how it works, the Bible and the Holy Spirit, and when you're starting to walk into it, it all starts with conviction. So, you know, before Christ, I used to sin, and then I would look for the next sin to do. I would, you know, it's almost like I was so consumed into this life of sin, that was the only thing that could satisfy me, and all the in-betweens were just these lows of just trying to find the next one, you know, the next one. But he's come to set us free. And when you start pursuing him, like I said, when you start to sin again in him, which you are, you're going to feel convicted after. But through that conviction is going to come transformation. So when you start to transform, you're going to be like, okay, well, this doesn't make me feel the same way it used to. It's starting to feel like I'm being separated from the love that I'm seeking. And like I said, sin separates us from God. And he only has abundant life set out for us. You know, we're not all supposed to be walking around miserable, anxious, and depressed, which is what, I mean, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but that's the majority of the world. And it's because we've gotten to an era where sin is just regular. You know, it's normal. See sin on TV, see sin on books, you see sin in the news and through your friends, and that just seems to be the normal. And God almost just seems to be weird in today's society. And it's because we've gotten into such a mindset of instant gratification that it's, I mean, it's like if you're in public and you see a man that's just, you know, 6 foot, 230 pounds of absolute muscle unit, he stands out. You know what I mean? And people look at him and they're like, he's on steroids. You know what I mean?
Instant first thought.
Yeah. And then it's the same thing with like when me and my friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we go into a gas station. A lot of times I'll see people ask them because they're so lit up in joy. They say, I want what you're on. And they're automatically assuming that there's something that instantly gave that to them. And that was through them seeking God and working hard towards him to be into the joyous life that he has set out for us.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, to be honest with you, the more you, and for me, the more I've gone back into sin or fallen into that temptation, the further away from God that I feel. A lot of times, and there's periods of time where I'm just sin after sin after sin, and those are the times in my life that it's the furthest away from God I've been, the worse my life is. I've noticed the more I devote my life to the Lord, the better my life is, the happier I am, but the more I continue to sin, it's like I'm no longer speaking to God anymore, and God's no longer speaking to me. Instead, I'm speaking to the world, and the world doesn't care.
Right.
The world will never care, but God cares about you. It's through Jesus' sacrifice that we kind of first see this, that God cares about you. He loves you, and he wants you to speak to him. He doesn't want you to fall into these worldly things and be tempted by the world, because by being tempted by the world, you're turning further away from what really matters, if that makes sense.
And like you said earlier, when you start to get into the Spirit and you finally start to walk with the Spirit, you're going to start to be tempted more. And one thing that I've noticed, so before Christ, I did have, you know, I had my lows and I had my depression, my anxiety. But I want to tell you, the worst position to be is to know the truth and not follow it. Because then you now are out of the position of not being a threat to Satan. You are now starting to walk into the truth. And Satan knows when you're on the other side of that truth, it's going to start coming out of you. And you're going to start, like Philip just said, you're going to start stealing souls from him and starting to bring into the kingdom and starting to gain ground for the kingdom of God. So when you know the truth and you know it's wrong and you continue to do it, it's separating you from God. And now you know that it's separating you from God, and it's going to lead you down a dark path. And not only like mentally for yourself, but it's also going to spoil your witness to other people. And like we were just talking about, the number one way that you can spread the gospel is being a witness of what his love has done to you. And like nothing, I want to say one of the biggest things for me personally that kind of hits me in the guts every time is when I'm sharing the gospel with somebody, and maybe it's just someone who sees me on the outside or someone that knows me for a long time, and they say, well, you still do this, or I saw you doing this. And it's like, dang, you know what I mean? Like that one thing that I thought was just so minor for me, now that person was watching me. And that's one thing you'll notice is if you're a believer and you're sharing the gospel, all the eyes start to look on you because now everybody's trying to see if you're going to slip up.
Yep. Yeah. When you're trying to lead people to the Lord, if you're not 110% perfect, then they don't want anything to do with you because they don't realize the fact that just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're perfect. Nobody ever lives a perfect life from the beginning, from the time that they're saved. Before they're saved, from the time they're saved to after they're saved, there's something in their life that's going to consume them. There's something in their life they're going to be tempted by. There's going to be a sin that they're going to fall into. No matter how many corrections they make, no matter how many times they ask for forgiveness, sin is going to follow them from the beginning to the end.
But, you know, one thing it's hard for us to understand is that when we resist the devil and you keep pursuing God, and we were just talking about this because recently, you know, as we're starting to grow closer to God and we're starting to share the gospel more, we've both been being spiritually attacked mentally. But on the other side of that, that's the thing is when you can trust in his plan, you know biblically what's on the other side of your low. You know what's on the other side of that valley. You know what I mean? That's the mountaintop. But I kind of how I explain it is, So we were talking about the saturated thing, and you know, I was really excited for it in the previous weeks, and then as saturated started to come up, which is pretty much just 5 days of worship and diving into the Word. And as it came up, I started feeling like I was like, I don't know, I'm just not even feeling like really on fire right now. And, you know, normally I'm like all over it, and that's all I think about. And it was like the devil was, he knew that I was about to, my spirit was about to exponentially get a boost pretty much. So he was going to mentally attack me by being like, is this really going to do anything for you? And then on the other side of that was like a whole new revelation. And it was like totally being set free from some of these things that, you know, have been hitting me and knocking me down over and over and over again. But one thing is that most people don't understand what it means to be free. And for freedom, Christ died. Like, so God is a good God, right? He wants salvation for all of us. And you can be saved and you can still be living in sin, but you're not free. You're still in bondage.
Yep.
You're still a slave to your sin. You're still being ruled by your sin. But Christ, specifically the Son of Man, came down and walked a perfect life and died so that now you can have relationship with God, but through the Son, you're able to be set free. And then if that's not enough, you're also promised the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is what is gifted to you through your faith. And the Holy Spirit allows you to start feeling different. Like it starts to show you different paths and different ways out of sin.
Gotcha. I mean, I had a thought when you were talking there. It was the fact that no matter what, to live the perfect, or to try to live a more Christian life, to try to live in faith, sacrifice has to happen no matter what, right? So the first sacrifice, Jesus died on the cross, he bled, and it was because of his bleeding that, or because of his blood that we are cleansed of our sins. However, for us to continue our life, to be less of sinners, not to say we still won't be sinners, but to, you know, live a more righteous lifestyle, we now have to sacrifice things in our life that may have brought us happiness in the past. If you're an alcoholic, you have to sacrifice giving up alcohol to live a more righteous lifestyle because you know that the path you were on before was going to lead you to destruction. So by giving that up, by sacrificing that, you are now living closer to the Lord. If you're someone who eats, you know, like, and I'm the biggest one here, both physically and I mean this literally, if you're somebody who can't resist eating a whole chocolate cake, then you probably shouldn't buy cake when you go to the store. That's just the truth of it. But, and it's that sacrifice. And you have to do that continually through life. You know, if you want to have kids, you have to sacrifice time. You have to sacrifice money. You have to sacrifice, you know, maybe having a good job or maybe having a more cushy job to working a harder job in order to provide for your family. Those are things that you have to go through, and it's that continual sacrifice that shows the Lord your faith in Him.
And I think the main call to be able to fully walk into the freedom that He has for us is to pick up our cross and walk with Him.
Yes.
And what it means to carry your cross, what does that mean to carry your cross? What was the cross used for? The cross was called the sinner's cross, and that was where the body was crucified and killed on. So as human beings, we're half and half. We're half spirit and we're half flesh. Your flesh is the desire, temptation, wanting, you know, aspect of your life. And then the spirit is the thing in your head that's like, okay, well, we know this is bad for us. We know this is only probably going to lead to, maybe not for say death, but it's going to lead to, you know, some kind of further sinning. So by crucifying our flesh on that cross and carrying our cross, that's us saying, you know what? The old me is dead and I'm going to pursue Him. And it's a sanctification process, right? You don't crucify your flesh and stop sinning. It's a process. And when Christ died for our sins, He died for our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. He's an omniscient God. He knew we were going to continue to sin. I mean, it's all written down already. But it's your choice to be not a hearer of the word, to be a doer of the word. And through being a doer of the word, you are now going to gain witness of others. Because like I said, the eyes are on you. And when people are saying, okay, why is this man? As far as I've known Nick Melvin, you know, he's been high all the time. I was always a stoner, you know. Why is that? Why is he starting to put that down? Because we know that's what brought him peace. We know that's what, you know, I've always had like crazy ADHD. So that was kind of my way out. But that was a sacrifice that the spirit in me kind of had to tumble with. You know what I mean? That was like, he's like, okay, well, if you really want to be closer to me, am I not enough? And that's every time I feel like I was trying to find a way out of how I felt, the spirit kept telling me, am I not enough? Am I not enough? And he is enough, you know? And yeah, the more you soak up in his presence, the more you realize like he's more than enough. Like yeah, it, he's such a good God, and he doesn't, I mean, 365 times in the Bible, it says, do not fear, do not fear. Don't be anxious, for tomorrow is anxious for itself.
Yeah.
There's nothing to be anxious about. I mean, and the only time that we get anxious is when we take our eyes off him and we start looking around our life and we start saying, what things am I losing control of? How is my life going in a certain direction, which I wish it was going in this direction? Because ultimately what anxiety is anxiety comes from us feeling like we don't have control. But when you can understand that he is in control and he has a purpose set out for us and he has this abundant life set out for us, until you truly, truly believe that, it's going to be impossible. Because you first off, you have to believe that he is a good God. And like me and Philip just said, he had one son. You know what I mean? He was his only child. And not only was it his only child, it was his perfect child, his perfect lamb. And he came down and walked a perfect life and did nothing but spread love. And that was the sacrifice of God to show us that he loves us and that he doesn't want to condemn us. He's given us an easy out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All he said is to call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. But back to the temptation aspect. But through denying the temptation is when you can truly walk into the life that he has for us. Because I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I get in these spurts where I'm like, okay, life is good, but I know there's more. I know there's more. And I know it's not money. Like I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's a better location of living, or maybe when I find my wife, then I'll be happy. You know what I mean? And then you can go talk to a 75-year-old man that retired and has got $5 million in his bank account with a beautiful wife and a house on the beach. Guess what? He's still looking for that same thing. So like, what is it? And it's truly just having your soul satisfied by him.
And something you have to realize is God is enough to help you through no matter what you're going through. And as Nick had said, not only did he sacrifice his only son, but he sacrificed his perfect son. And it tells us here in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin."
Hmm. So everything that you think is specific to you has already been overcome, is what he's saying. Yes. So Jesus overcame everything that was thrown in his way. And I want to remind you guys, in Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted by the devil himself. The devil was in the presence of Jesus. And on the mountaintop, he said, "Do you see this? I'll give you everything that you can see as far as I can see." So he's literally tempted. So like, you think your ex-girlfriend is a good tempter? Imagine the devil himself. You know what I mean? So like, this man literally overcame sin. Not only did he overcome sin, he overcame death. And the thing is the reason that he died was so that we can be with him. Like, it sounds to a lot of people, it sounds like it's like a fairy tale, or it's even like they believe it and they know it's true and they know they're saved, but they don't understand that they can be living it not when they die. They can be living it today. They can be living in the joy that he has for us today. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. He's already overcame that.
Yes.
And he promises the spirit. And we're like, man, I can't do this by myself. Guess what? Boop. You get one part of the Holy Trinity to live inside of you. So, like the disciples, these men who were all, you know, ragtag sinners like us, they rewrote history, and it wasn't them. That's what I don't think people don't understand is it wasn't them. And you hear a lot of, and in the Muslim culture, they believe that there was power in the disciples. And like, there's almost like a holiness to the disciples, and not that they should be worshiped, but there is truth to that. There was power in the disciples,
but it was through Jesus that they got that power.
Exactly. And I want to remind you, the same power that lives in the disciples is the same power that is promised to you. And that power is that Spirit that is going to come into you, rewrite your book, and put you on a new path towards an abundant life.
Exactly. I think 1 Corinthians 10:13, Nick, if you want to read it.
Yeah, it says that God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So in those moments when you feel like you are literally crushing under this temptation, because I know me personally, like, there's just some times it's like, I almost feel like I can't not do it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Take that moment to be obedient. Take that moment to be disciplined. Close your eyes and say, God, let your will be done. Show me the path out. And he will. And now it's going to be your choice, because he showed you. Now it's going to be your choice whether you're going to do it or not. And if you're going to take that way out of sin, that's you being obedient and stepping one step closer to him. And when you're close to God, you start to feel his presence. You start to feel his power. And when you have the power of God, like, just being resonated through every single day life, it feels like nothing's impossible. Like, and the truth is nothing is. The tomb was rolled away. That stone was rolled. And if that stone was rolled away, not once ever in history as someone came back from being dead for 3 days. So part of my testimony is that I was dead for an hour and called on the name of Jesus and was called back to life. There's a lot of stories of people being dead for up to an hour and being resuscitated. You know what I mean?
Right.
But 3 days dead in a tomb with no food, no water. I mean, and then to move a massive piece of earth and then to transcend into heaven is unreal. And that same power lives in you and lives in me.
Right. So, like, and if you think about it, Jesus's death represents his sacrifice for our sins, right? But him coming back to life really represents the eternal life that we are promised after we're saved, after we call to him and after we put our faith in him. His resurrection and his rise into heaven. The clouds split apart. As we know, the clouds split apart, and he literally rose to heaven, right? And there were these witnesses there. That represents the eternal life that we now have by putting our faith in him. It is through him that we are his sacrifice, that we are cleansed of our sins, and it is through him that we have eternal life in heaven. And it is because of him that we have the body of the Spirit, as Nick has said, to interpret and to know God's word.
Like the same story of Lazarus. Lazarus was a dead man, and Jesus walked up to him and he says, "Rise and walk." And he rose and he walked. And when we start to walk into the purpose he has set out for us, it's the death of the old us. It says, "Behold, the new has come," and we begin to walk into this new life. And just the same way as when Ananias went and spoke to Saul. What happened when Ananias spoke to Saul? The scales fell off his eyes and he was able to see.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, I mean, when you think about being saved, saved is the prayer part of it. And this is actually something I didn't know until I really started getting into it. And then getting into the word and understanding it is the fact that being saved is the prayer. It's the asking God, take me away from my sins. I no longer want to be the person I have been. And I want to put my faith in you. But it's the baptism that buries the old person, right? It is the baptism that it's a cleansing, but it's also a burial. The person you were before is now dead. And that's how you need to look at it and say, I'm going to be a new person from this point forward. That doesn't necessarily mean your old self is just necessarily going to just disappear. Your personality is going to change automatically. It's obviously not going to happen, but that's the way you need to view it. That the old you is now dead, and you need to pursue this new lifestyle, this new heart that God has given you after you've said that prayer, after you've been saved, after you've realized how putting your faith in Him can lead you to a better life and a more fulfilling life and a more joyous life.
Up until the point that you are saved, and like you said, the baptism of being raised again into a new life. So think about it like this. As you're a baby, up until that point that you were saved, maybe not financially, maybe not physically, but spiritually, you're on a downhill decline, and you're getting closer and closer and closer to death. And so spiritually speaking, the moment that you're saved, that's about the divot of the lowest point you'll ever spiritually be, because that is when you start to walk into that new life. And, you know, like a stock, when you walk into that new life, it's not going to go straight up. It's not a vertical line straight to the top. It's a process. You started now from that bottom, and now you're starting to go up. So one thing you'll notice is right at the bottom almost looks the exact same as right as it starts to go up. There's marginally small difference, you know, because you don't really see the difference, probably not in everyday life. But then when you zoom out on the three-year perspective, you can see your spirit change. And yeah, you can like run away from God. But a lot of times, like I told you, that is the people that is going to have the hardest life.
Oh yeah.
Is the people that know the truth. They become saved. They walk into their new life. And then they go back to their vomit. They go back to their old lifestyle. And they keep pursuing that. And that leads down a really dark path. But He's with you. And He's right behind your back. So no matter how far you are. Okay, so if you've never been saved, got great news for you. This is where it goes up. If you've already been saved and you're in darkness and you feel like there's no hope, I have good news for you. He is turn around. He's right there. When you take the vowels out of Yahweh, YHWH, it is literally the sound you make when you breathe in and you breathe out. He's as close as your next breath. He's right there. He's one phone call away. And we previously talked about it. Like, prayer is your wartime walkie-talkie. Use it. Yeah. A lot of times we feel like we get so caught up in the idea that there's not really power in prayer. Because you see, like, you'll see News for Jacks post something happen, right? And it'll be something so terrible. And then you read the comments, and it's like, oh, praying for this person, praying, 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 praying. And then from an outside perspective, they're like, okay, well, y'all are praying, but y'all aren't actually taking action.
Yeah.
And even from a Christian perspective, I've even heard Christians say, like, okay, now do something about it. But we forget how much power there is in prayer. And when it comes to prayer, the power is in the faith. Do you believe it, or are you just saying it? Are you just saying the words, or do you actually believe that that faith will move that mountain?
Exactly. I mean, and it says it there in Matthew, and I can never remember the verse, unfortunately, but it says it that if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you can look at a mountain and tell it to move, and it'll move. Through fasting and prayer, and in this instance, I'm putting more emphasis on the prayer aspect of it. Through prayer, you can tell a mountain to move, and it'll move, but you have to have the faith that it will.
It all begins with faith. And I mean, that's literally what saves us.
Oh, yeah.
Our faith is what saves us. But to actually have that power and to be able to use it in your life, like I said, like with God, nothing's impossible. But it's the faith that it's actually true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, well, I like to think of the story going back of when Jesus is you know, walking through this town, and he's going to heal somebody else. And this woman who can't walk literally is like, if I just touch the hem of his robe, it'll heal me. And it's through that faith alone that she was able to walk up and get up and carry her wheelchair out. I mean, if you read the story, it's actually incredibly amazing. And the more you delve into that, and the more you think about it, the more you're like, is literally her faith alone that allowed her to be healed, to be able to walk.
Yeah, and that, and like a little more context to that story. As he was walking into the city, he was actually going to save a dead girl. There was a little girl that was dead. And, you know, Jesus is following the father of the little girl. And as he's walking through a crowd, he feels something touch him. And he turns around and he's like, oh, before we go any farther,
who touched me?
Who touched me? And, you know, and the disciples are like, you're walking through a crowd. What do you mean, who touched you? You're being touched all over the place.
That's how powerful our faith was.
Think about that. Jesus was being touched all over. He's walking through a crowd, right? So he's being nudged up by people. So people are, theoretically, people are calling on him. People are in his presence. But it was the girl with the faith. He turned around. He said, who was it? And she didn't want to say it was me. You know what I mean? She eventually comes out and she says, it was me. He says, through your faith that you've been healed, get up and walk. You know what I mean? But, and then, to end that story, that, you know, like I said, the father is, he's upset with Jesus because Jesus isn't going to heal his daughter. And he looks at him, he's like, I don't think you realize who you're dealing with. Yeah. Like, I literally, not only myself raised from the dead, but time and time and time again. So he ultimately went to that girl and she rose and she lived. And that girl, it was a 12-year-old little girl too.
Yeah. An incredible story. And honestly, it's absolutely incredible what faith can do for you and what God can do for you. If you just put your faith into him, put your trust into him, and you love him and you pray to him and you truly try to change your life, it's amazing what you can do and the amount of temptation that you can resist. And we just ask you to do that today. We ask you to continue to pray to God. We continue to get into the word and to ask for him or go to him in order to turn away from temptation, turn away from sin. We thank you all for coming out and to listening to us, and we hope that maybe you picked up on something today. I know this really helps me articulate and think about what I've, you know, the things that have gone through my head and the scripture that I read, and it's nice to sit down with Nick and be able to kind of think these thoughts out, and we hope that maybe we've helped you in some way or shape or form.
And just the last thing we want to leave you guys with is when that temptation comes to your door, not if, when that temptation comes to your door and you feel like you're being tempted and you feel like it's being overbearing, I just challenge you to pray that he takes it from you. See what happens. We love you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. And now go live it. Love y'all.
Thank you.